This morning's Bible reading is Matthew 6, 5 to 8, giving to the needy. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, that they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
We interrupt this broadcast through 2 Corinthians to bring you a word on prayer. Is anyone going to disagree with me on the statement we've got up there? I hope not. Prayer is powerful. It's something we're called to. Because we've got this passage just read, but you know what? Three times in three verses, he makes a statement, and when you pray. That's really unhelpful that it changed shape on from my computer to that computer. And all the boxes are now in the wrong spot. So that second box, if you drag it down a line, it says, but when you pray. And then the third box, if you drag it across and down, it goes, and when you pray. And when you pray. When, not if. Not, oh, that might be a good idea. It is. Jesus assumes you'll pray. It's a command. When you pray. Anyone here think they've got their prayer life all together and they pray enough? This is not about hounding on you to do it better, to do more or whatever. I won't ask you to put up your hands, but I'll ask you to look in your heart. Do you pray? I'm going to assume all of you do. Well done. This is good. Today's message is touching on just giving a little bit more ideas and toolbox, in a sense, for your prayers to give you another possibility of how to do it. So when you pray, that's a given. Then he says, drag it down. Do not keep babbling like the pagans. For they think they'll be heard because of their many words. It's not the amount of words you use in your prayer. It's not whether you know big words or not. Christelle somewhere did some study at university. If you really want to, can you use a lot of big words? You don't in your prayers, do you? Because God doesn't need that. Jake, do you love reading? Probably not. You just, has mum ever found you out there with the dictionary going, ooh, here's a new good word. You take after dad. Guess what? Jake, if you get on, stop and go, God, and you bring your hum, your care, prayers are just as important and valuable and loved by God as Christelle's. That's true for all of us. It's not the amount of words you put together and whether you can do it well. It's that your heart comes before God. This one we've got to drag down. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you say it. It's not the words. It's the heart attitude. It's us lining up with what God wants. And when we get that right, we're on the journey. God knows what we want. Prayer is our journey to go, God, how do we get on the same page here? So, prayer, we're commanded to do it. So make sure you do something. But we are invited to pray. We are allowed to petition the creator and ruler of the entire universe. What's it? Indescribable. What's the next word in that line? Come on, you musicians. Esther, you remember all the words of songs. Uncontainable. He's big, man. That person says, you can come and talk to me. Paul said, in my weakness, he is strong. Prayer is going to the God of the universe and saying, oh, I ain't got enough here. But you have. Let's get on the same page. Every revival started with a prayer movement. Anyone see a couple of problems in the world around us? Anyone think that if people, the majority of people, got their heart right with God and actually followed him, that would fix a lot of those problems? Hearts changed is what revival is. That's what we're praying for. And we start with prayer. Love is a relationship. Relationships don't work unless there's communication happening. And the greatest commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. If you're going to love God, there has to be some communication happening. So that's why we need to pray. But communication happens in all sorts of ways. I do love Bronnie. I think you know that. Do I talk to her? Yes. Do I listen? Not as much as she'd like. I have even sent her snail mail. Not for a long time. Have I sent her an email or a text or a messenger? Yeah, because it communicates. Have I bought her flowers? Have I? I bought the plants and we put them in the garden and then go and cut them and put them out there, yeah. But a gift can communicate. Do we talk on the phone? Yes. There's a variety of ways we communicate. There's a variety of ways we communicate with God. And prayer doesn't have to be all the same ways every time. Remember reading a book, and I think it was Philip Yancey, and he was visiting Russia, and they were talking to this Eastern Orthodox priest, and he was showing him around, and he just turned to him and said, can we have a prayer for this situation? The priest goes, yes. So he walks off, goes and changes his robes, gets the right smells and bells, and comes back and does this prayer. And it's like, you know, for us evangelical Baptist types, it's like, what planet's that guy on? But that was his way to pray. He was preparing himself before God to petition. Is it wrong? Not necessarily. Anyone ever had the prayer that goes something like this? Oh, beep, help God. Anyone ever used a prayer very similar to that one? Yeah. They're real. There's variety in our prayer. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. So, a lot of this sermon I plagiarized, copied off Jason. When we were at conference a week and a half ago, Jason, who's the CEO, as I want to introduce him to Cliffy, he's the head honcho of the Queensland Baptists. He was sharing with a group of the Queensland Baptists, and what had God laid on his heart? A message on prayer. And I went, well, I can take most of that and share it with us because it's real for all of us. And his message on prayer was we can pray Bible verses. That's also not reinventing the wheel. When you pray, don't babble on with lots of big words like the pagans. Pick up some Bible verses, the promises God's already given, and say, let's pray them. Praying the scripture. Let's take a moment. Lord God, when the disciples came and asked you, how should we pray? You gave them some instructions. And you gave them the Lord's Prayer. That's one of the prayers in Scripture. There's a few other examples in there. But today we want to just take a few moments to lift our eyes and go, how can we improve our prayer life? Can we together say the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jason's message had five reasons to pray the scripture. One is it's powerful. Two is it's promise filled. Three is it's permanent truth. Four is it's prophetic. And five is it's personal. So he got his five P's. The next bit of the sermon he had, was it four F's and one something else, Cliffy? And he's like, I so wanted the five F's. But he couldn't quite get it in there. So these five reasons to pray the scripture. Powerful. Ever travelled overseas and you went to plug in the thing and went, oh, need an adapter. The hairdryer or the phone charger or whatever doesn't work in that plug. And my machine doesn't work when it's not plugged in. Oh, recognize the verse, Karen. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. We need to remain in God. Part of that is prayer. Because we're in a world where we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers and darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is a reality. Tim was telling stories this week about, you know, the chief's got this much power and the imam's got this much power, but if the real power's with the witch doctor who's puddling in that world. When we look at the world around us, some of the things, the decisions that are made by governments just don't make any blooming sense at all. We have a housing crisis. So let's bring in a whole lot of rules that increase the housing costs by about a quarter. Doesn't make any sense at all. Unless there's powers behind pushing sneaky little buttons wherever they can and influencing people and telling lies to wreck the place. But it says, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. When we're praying the scripture, we're taking hold of God's word, the promises he's made, and going, let's apply that to the situation. When there's stupidity going on around us and we go, well, what do I do? I don't want to do something stupid, but I don't want to. We seek God's word and we seek in prayer and go, what do I do? We pray God's word and pray and proclaim that and ask that we do that in our country. So it's powerful. It's promise filled. Now there's a little story I tell. When Jared, that's Tim's son, was little, and the first time my mother babysitted him by herself, Mel had given her a tin of baby vegetables and meat and an apple and custard. Mum looks at them and goes, he mightn't like the vegetables. So she opened up the can and gave him the custard and apple first. And I went, who the heck are you and what have you done with my mother? Because that did not happen for me. Not even for Tim. You know, by the third time, they're a bit laxer and they're a bit more favourite with the younger ones. How many of you as parents would give your 10-year-old son a chainsaw for his birthday? Now, I'm telling the grandparent story because grandparents are softer touches. Any grandparents here? Your 10-year-old grandson comes, Granddad, can I have a chainsaw for my birthday? What's the answer, Graham? You're still going to let him off by himself with it after you've taught him? So you're going to say no because it's not good for him. So there's some things that are good for us and some are. Now, Graham, I hope you know a bit more about chainsaws than your 10-year-old grandson. And you know what's good and what's not. God knows what's good and what's not. So when we are asking for the things he's promised, we know we're on the right track. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 14:14. God says, so what's in my name mean? It means the things that I want to do that are within my purposes. And when we're connected enough to know what his purposes are, we ask for those things and he helps us do it. So, for all God, the promises of God find their yes in him. So when we're praying things God's already promised, the likelihood of a yes is a lot higher. Now, just one little added thing I want to put there. Even you grandparents, you've promised your grandson that's visiting an ice cream. And he comes up to you 10 minutes before dinner and says, you promised an ice cream, Grandma, where is it? Any of you going to go after dinner? Okay? When we're praying God's promises, sometimes his answer is, yeah, after dinner. Permanent truth. How many of you remember reading things that telling you that you've really got to eat butter, it's the healthy thing? How many of you remember reading things, no, butter's not good for you, you need to eat margarine? Where are we at now? Has anyone read anything lately? Yeah. I'm going with butter because butter's closer to something God built. If they built it, food in a lab by mankind, I'm a bit sus. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Whatever the latest fad is, usually there is some truth in them, and it holds part of it. But hold it up against the Bible. Hold it up against the scriptures, because my word will always be true. Now, in a moment, I'm going to hand out some little cards that Jason had. And he's got these five things on it. So if you were taking notes madly, you don't need to. And on his one in Permanent Truth, he had this verse. And I go, it's not the one I would have picked there. But I'm staying to the card. And then I thought, if any of you are sick, if any of you has a problem, taking it to God in prayer, well, that's not a bad idea, is it? Applying his truth to the situation. Prophetic. Ever noticed that the information, we're not dealing with an information track nowadays, we're dealing with an information superhighway. There's so much coming past here that it was made me think. We were at a men's event, and it was going on, and Greg had the comment, "It's like trying to drink from a fire hydrant." Remember that? And that I had that image, and I went, the information coming in is kind of like the pipe out of the bottom of the dam, isn't it? But they've taken the filters off. It's like flood water out of the bottom of the dam. It's full of gunk. These are the days of Elijah declaring the word of the Lord. In all of that super much information, we need to be hearing from God. We need to be speaking that truth in the appropriate situations, declaring what's true before God into things. You ever been somewhere and you hear lots of stuff going on, and then someone else says something that lines up with something you already know is true, and it's like, oh, yeah, that fits. And it refutes some of the other garbage. We need to be continually reminding ourselves of what God is saying, but when the opportunity arises, declare the truths, the things that we know are true because they come from God, and let them sit. Let people at least hear the truth. So we have a prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention to, as a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of scriptures is the matter of one's own interpretation, or no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Do we need that in our day and age? Do we need things that we know are true? Do others need to hear it? Now, that doesn't mean you go out there and speak in King James and quote verses at everybody in sight all the time. But you hold yourself to the things that line up to the Bible, and when the opportunity arises to speak into someone, speak those truths. It's personal. How many of you have ever had the experience where you've picked up the Bible and you've read a verse and it's like a spotlight went right on that verse for you? How cool is that? God said, I will pour out my spirit. When he goes, there's something in your spirit need. He just lights up that thing, and that verse is for you. At the end of the service, I'm putting that verse up as a prayer. Do not become weary of doing good, for at the right time you will receive a harvest. If you do not stop doing good, and particularly to those of the faith. I remember one morning, Bron coming out and saying, I just read this verse and it hit. And as she said it to me, it hit me. It was like, wow, that's for me. That's for us at this time. And I went to Deacon's meeting that night. And I said, I've got this verse really touched me. And I read out the verse and I said, where's it from? And Daryl said, Galatians 6:9. And I said, Daryl, I love you dearly, mate, but you have never, ever quoted back the verse number to me when I've said a verse. You're not Lindsay. Is that fair, Daryl? And we all went, maybe God's saying something to us. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. As you pray scriptures, as you're getting them, you're putting them in your heart, that's helping you stay on the right track. Any of you been out four-wheel driving? And somebody gets bogged or you get bogged, you really don't want to just drive in the mud puddle to hook up to pull out, do you? You want someone whose four-wheel drive is still on the nice solid bit with a long enough rope to get to you. We want to stay on the solid bit so that the things we have is something to help someone else, is that scripture. There is a time for everything. There is a season under every activity under heaven. There is a time to born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. You all know that verse. Bible's full of a lot of stuff. How do we know which one's where? Where do we pray those particular scriptures into which particular place? At the conference, Jason got to this bit and he said, well, I went to some of the intercessors in my church. Now, we're all called to pray, but some people have a spiritual gift of praying. We're all called to share God's word and witness to others. Some people have a spiritual gift of preaching. We're all called to have faith. Some people have a spiritual gift of faith. So he went to those he knew had the spiritual gift in prayer and said, I want you to give me four verses that are for us, for our season, for this time. And they went away and spent a couple of weeks praying and came back with five. So, can I have a volunteer or two to hand these out? And there were five prayers that God laid on their heart that he shared with us. A prayer for the fullness in your life. It's a good thing to be praying that you're the shape and the size and the with the strength and power that God's got for you. That you're not just feeling run over. A prayer for favor over your family. You know, family was God's idea. And he wants good for your family. A prayer for faithfulness in the church. We want our churches to be found faithful. Jesus made that statement. When I return, will I find faith on the earth? I bloomin' hope so. And I hope is if before this sermon finished, the rapture happened, and we all suddenly went up in the thing. Anyone be sad by that? Hope not. That everybody here would be going up, and that Jesus would be walking past me. Well done, I've seen your faith. That's my hope. That's not that you perfected it. I know that the person standing up in this church has had their moments and their times where they're just feeling they're not very faithful. So maybe those sitting down do that too. But we want to be faithful in our church. A prayer for fruitfulness in our community. Do we want good for our communities? I hope so. And a prayer for revival in our nation, in our generation. These are the five thoughts that they came to. And they put a verse up to pray for each one. Because in why we pray scripture, we want to desire these things. So these five verses on the back, as you pray them, as you read them, it starts to build in your heart a desire for those things. It refocus on God's plan in my life. In our life. It's an in, not an I. Spell check. Spell checkers don't work when you get the spelling right, but the grammar wrong. Anyone else ever got distracted? They want to do the right thing and they're going on it and something, and they realize a bit 5 minutes later, 15 minutes later, however many, they're a little bit off target, 3 weeks later. If we coming back to God's word, it helps refocus on what God's got for us. Come before God asking, what is your role in that? If we want fruitfulness in our community, well, what am I meant to do about it? I can't do it all. I can't fix Mergen. But I can be part of the solution rather than adding to the problem. Come before God and ask to see what he's already doing. Give thanks when you see some of what he's doing. So as we're focusing and reading these verses, bring them regularly before God. So I'd encourage you, many others in Queensland are doing this, put this in your Bible or where you normally sit for your prayer time. Pick it up every now and again and either read the whole five. Pick one of them and sit with it for a minute. See what God's saying to you in that verse. Bring it before God and desire that for your family and community. Ask God what he wants to do in that. for you. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask, that's a bit hard to read. I need 5 volunteers. So for the first one, do we have a volunteer who wants to read out this verse for us, the prayer for the fullness in your life? Okay, who's number one? Who's our volunteer? Righto, read it, stand up, read out that verse nice and loud, John. Yeah, have another one. You can't lose it already, brother. Yeah, put it in a safe place. No one else does that standing around here. Yep. Thank you, John. Amen to that. I hope you can say with me, I want to know and grow in my understanding of the love of God and be filled with that. Number two, who's our volunteer? Thanks, Anna. Nice loud voice. If you want that for your family, say amen. Amen. Number three. Thank you. Amen. Is that your desire for our church, that we bring goodness to our community? Prayer for faithfulness in our community. Number four. Do we have a volunteer? Okay, Jan. Amen to that. Anyone see? Where are we? Because they were harassed and helpless. Anyone see that in the community out there? Can we fix it all? No. Would we like it to be able to have opportunities to be? We are some of those workers. But we could do with a few more. Let's pre-praying that. Number five, for our revival for our nation, do we have a volunteer to read number five? Thank you, Russell. Thank you. It's not my job to tell you what you've got to do. I love the fact that I get to invite you to some of the things that God's offering. I'd invite you to take those pieces of card, put them in somewhere that your prayers are, and revisit them and bring those prayers, because together with many throughout our state, others will be praying these things for our state, for our people. So as we finish this morning, let me finish with a prayer. Lord, I know that I become weary at times. But I want to do good. But I want to do the good you're leading to. And that needs your wisdom. That needs your strength. And we're reminded that this morning that when we remain in the vine, we bear fruit. And in some things, prayer is a little bit like the sap. Prayer is sappy. Ooh, I better not go there. You know what I mean, Lord. But when we can be connecting with you through your word, through our soft hearts to speak to you, our soft hearts and minds to be listening to what you're saying to us in varying ways, and then going and acting on what you've told us to do, that's the good that matters. Lord, we want to be found doing that. We do pray for the reaping of that harvest, because when we do your good, it helps others, and you have a desire to see others helped, and the best help they can have is to be lined up with you too. So we pray for the reaping of that harvest. And Lord, we pray that we continue to do good, but you know and guide us where. Lord, there's too much to be done than we can do in ourselves. You said in this verse, especially to those to the faith, we need to be caring for each other so that we have the strength to keep caring out there. Lord, both are important. We can't pull someone out of a bog if we're bogged ourselves. Help us to be caring for each other and also caring for the opportunities we have out there. In Jesus' name.